Thank you for listening to the audio podcast of the King's Crossing Church of Christ. To learn more or subscribe, please visit our website at kingscrossingcoc.com.
My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate that. Blessed to be able to fill this spot this morning for our preaching minister, Dr. Mark Adams. He's not here today because he has spent the weekend in, I believe it's Fayetteville, Arkansas, and has been blessing some young people there, speaking at a youth conference. And so we are glad to be able to share him, but always anxious for him to come back. And if you're a guest today, I would invite you to come back in the weeks to come, and hopefully you'll get a chance to meet him and to hear how blessed we are by being able to sit each week beneath the teaching that he offers us. It's great stuff going on here. My family has been here for a little over a year now, hard to believe. We have made so many friendships and so many relationships in this church and have appreciated that. What's great is even after a year, we're still continuing to meet new folks. Last week, I had a fellow pull me aside and said, "I want to meet you because you look very familiar." I said, "I've just got that kind of face. People say that all the time." He said, No. He says, I've seen you lead some songs there, and I finally have figured it out. He says, "You're that weather guy on Channel 3, Bill Vesey." I said, "You got me. And the high tomorrow will be 125. Mark it down, you know." Great to be able to continue to meet folks, and we look forward to the days ahead with that. You know, when I was thinking about Mark being able to speak at a youth conference this weekend, when I was a teenager, I was very blessed to be part of a strong church youth ministry. And in our group, we used to sing a song called "Where Will You Be When You Get Where You're Going?" Now, I got to confess, I don't remember much about the song, except that I thought, that's a pretty dumb song. Where will I be when I get where I'm going? I guess I'll be wherever I was going, you know? Why am I the smartest guy in the room here? I mean, come on, what's this all about? It wasn't until I was an adult that I figured out what that song meant. They were trying to teach me through the words of a song something that we now refer to as the rule of the road. And it's a teaching I want to share with you this morning. Now, I will tell you, this teaching is not original with me. I first heard it about 15, maybe 20 years ago. I've heard it taught in different variations since then, but it is important enough and it is applicable enough that I think it's great for us to spend just a few moments this morning reminding ourselves of the rule of the road. The idea behind it is simply this: the only way to get where you want to go is to make sure that the road you're on will take you there. When we first moved to Portland, I got into a U-Haul and drove all night from the Dallas-Fort Worth area in order to get here. You don't need a map for that. I'm a smart enough guy. I know how to get from Fort Worth to Corpus Christi. You get on I-35 and you don't stop until you get there. There's this little thing called I-37 in San Antonio that apparently you're supposed to get on at some point. I didn't realize that until I was well past San Antonio and I began to see signs extolling the virtues of life in Laredo. And I thought, Laredo, that's a funny way to spell Corpus Christi. And it finally dawned on me the road I was on was not going to get me where it was I wanted to be. Every intention of mine was to get here. But the rule of the road says the only way to get to where you want to be is to make sure you're on the road that will take you there. Your intentions do not determine your destination. Your direction determines your destination. That's the key principle this morning. Now, as obvious as that is in the world of geography, there seems to be, for whatever reason, a real disconnect when it comes to the other areas of life. And yet, as obvious as that is in one arena, we miss it so many times in another arena. And yet the rule of the road applies everywhere. It applies in your marriage. It applies in your finances. It applies in your profession. If you are single and dating, it applies there. It is true in terms of your health. It applies to individuals. It applies to organizations. It applies to us as a church. In every one of those things, it is your direction, not your best intentions, not your hopes and dreams, not your wishes that determine where you are going to end up. Direction determines destination. And yet, I have seen folks crash and burn. They are so surprised at where they ended up in life, and they never connect the dots between the choices that they make and the outcomes that they experience. They have come to believe that as long as their intentions were good, as long as they were dreaming the right dreams, as long as they did their best and tried their hardest and had their hearts in the right place, that it doesn't matter which path they take, that somehow they're going to end up in a good place. But life doesn't work that way. It never has. And when you listen to folks like that tell their story, and when they talk about the roads that they've traveled, you think to yourself, well, where did you think you were going to end up? And because this isn't where they hoped they would be, they often get mad at God. Intentions, hopes, and dreams do not determine where we end up. Direction determines destination. Now, there is an amazing piece of literature tucked away in the book of Proverbs that goes well with, I think, the scripture reading that we had just a few moments ago. It talks about and it illustrates this disconnect better than probably anything else I have ever seen. It's in chapter 7 of Proverbs, and Solomon describes a scene that he is witnessing from his window. And he just kind of lets us in as he describes the scene. And I don't know if this really happened. I don't know if this is perhaps a parable based on his experiences that he's using to illustrate a point. But whichever it is, the story shows our tendency to disconnect direction from destination. Let's just read through this morning. By the way, I read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. I grew up reading King James, and then at some point when I was younger, made the switch to the New International Version. I found several years ago that I really like the New Living Translation because for me, it helps open up things that have become familiar to me. I read them again in just a little bit different language in a reliable translation, and suddenly there are new vistas and new windows that are opened up. And so if you've got the NIV, that's fine. We'll put the words up here on the screen from the New Living Translation. All right, here's what Solomon says beginning in verse 6. It says, "While I was at the window of my house looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young men and one in particular who lacked common sense." And you may wonder, how does Solomon know? How could he possibly know that this is a group of naive young men? How does he know that this one guy that he has singled out is somebody who lacks common sense? And the answer is because he is young. Nothing against being young. Most of us have done that one time or another, haven't we? But here's the deal. Good judgment requires time and experience. And this guy just hasn't lived long enough to have either one of those to a great degree. None of us did when we were teenagers. He just hasn't lived long enough yet to have great judgment. In fact, do you know that scientists tell us that the frontal lobe of the human brain is not even fully developed until we're in our mid-20s? That's the area that has reasoning. That's the area where we kind of, you know, make some choices, where our judgment is located, our reasoning skills. It explains why, as adolescents, many of us often took part in high-risk behaviors and activities without ever making the connection between our choices and the potential consequences, because that part of the brain is still developing. So that's what Solomon sees. He sees a guy who's about to make an unwise choice. Verse 8. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. It was at twilight in the evening as deep darkness fell. Now, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to see where this is going, do you? This guy is headed someplace he thinks is going to be great. And Solomon is watching the whole thing, and you're getting a contrasting perspective. You've got the guy who thinks he knows what he's about to experience, and you've got the older, wiser Solomon saying, no, 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 I know what he's about to experience, and he's not headed where he thinks he is. This is going to be different. And the reason that there is a contrast is because the older, wiser man knows the rule of the road. Direction determines destination. This isn't a fling that this guy is supposed to have. This is a road, and all roads lead somewhere. You already know where this one's going. Verse 10, look at this. The woman approached him, seductively dressed and sly of heart. She was the brash, rebellious type, never content to stay at home. She is often in the streets and markets, soliciting at every corner. Solomon knew a thing or two about women. He had made his own unwise choices in this arena. And he knew from his own experience, maybe, that this woman is toxic, and he also understood why the young man couldn't see it. Verse 13, she threw her arms around him and kissed him, and with a brazen look, she said, I've just made my peace offering and fulfilled my vows. You're the one I was looking for. I came out to find you, and here you are. Now, this doesn't basically mean much to us, but what she's saying is, look, I'm not a prostitute. I've got plenty of money. I am not after your money, but I've just gone to the temple, and I've made things right with God. I've taken my sin bucket, and I dumped it out on the altar, and now it's empty, and God has forgiven me, and I'm ready to fill it up again, and here you are. You ever play that game with God? Well, look, I know what I'm doing, and I know that this isn't right, but God's got to forgive me. The Bible says so. After all, I'm a Christian. I'll just ask for forgiveness, and I'll empty that sin bucket out, and then we go out and fill it up again. It is an affront to God when we play that game. It's like saying, God, you are so ignorant. I've got this system figured out, and I don't know why you can't see it. She's playing that game. Verse 16, she says to the young man, my bed is spread with beautiful blankets, with colored sheets of Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink our fill of love until morning. Let's enjoy each other's caresses. And just in case he's wondering, she adds, for my husband is not home. He's away on a long trip. He has taken a wallet full of money with him and won't return until later this month. Well, that pretty much cinches it right there, doesn't it? Not only does this guy not have to worry about her husband catching them, he can stay until the morning. Heck, he could stay all weekend if he wants to. To him, this just keeps getting better and better and better, but Solomon has a different perspective. He knows that the rule of the road leads somewhere. Verse 21, so she seduced him with her pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. He followed her at once like an ox going to the slaughter. And in case you didn't get it, he was like a stag caught in a trap awaiting the arrow that would pierce its heart. And in case you didn't get that, he was like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing it would cost him his life. This guy says, you got it all wrong. This is a one-time thing. It's just a date. And Solomon says, no, that's what you don't understand. This is a road. And every road that you're on leads somewhere. It is not your intentions that determine where you end up. It is your direction. The young man was focused on what he was doing. Solomon is focusing on where he's headed. One focuses on the immediate. The other focuses on the ultimate. One focuses on the here and now. The wise man focuses on tomorrow. Two contrasting perspectives of the same event. Now, in verse 24, Solomon kind of pulls away from the narrative. And he says this, "So listen to me, my sons, and pay attention to my words. Don't let your hearts stray away toward her. Don't wander down her wayward path." Path? What do you mean path? It's a one-time thing. I'm just going to her house. Verse 26, "For she has been the ruin of many. Many men have been her victims." He says, "Buddy, I hate to break this to you, but this is not a unique situation. I know you're thinking, but I've never felt this way before. This is so special. It's just me. It's just her." And Solomon says, "It's not. It's a path. It's a road. And it leads to a laughably predictable place." Verse 27, "Her house is the road to the grave. Her bedroom is the den of death." It's a road that takes this guy ultimately to where he does not want or plan to be. It is a disconnect. Now, what's interesting to me is when I started this story, you probably knew where it was headed. As we revealed some of the language in these verses, you could see exactly where that's going. And the reason for that is because it is pretty easy for every one of us to see this happening to somebody else, isn't it? It's pretty easy for me to spot somebody who's walking down a road that they ultimately do not want to be on. But for some reason, we all think that when it comes to us, we are the exception to the rule. It won't apply to me. I can walk down a road and still end up where I want to be. I can take this path and still ultimately end up in the place that I want my life to end up in. Maybe you've said it, you've certainly heard it when you were dating. "You know, I want to end up with a wonderful Christian guy or girl, so I'll go out with whoever comes along as long as they're cute. My hope is to have one thing, but the road I'm on leads to another. You know, I want my family to be a unit. I want us to take vacations together and be family-centered so that when my kids have kids, we'll just continue to do everything together. So I'm going to work all the time." Your destination trumps your intentions. "I want my kids to respect me. When they grow up, I want them to come to me for advice. I want to be the wise statesman of our family. So I'm going to fool around on their mom. I want to lose weight. I want to be fit. I want to take care of myself so then in the latter years of my life, I can invest myself in my grandchildren. Hey, supersize that, will you?" You see, it's not rocket science we're talking about, and we can see it in everybody else. We just don't often see it in ourselves. A couple says, "We'd like our children to develop a personal relationship with God. We want them to choose the kind of friends who have done the same. And so, we find something more important than church to do every single weekend." I've got a book entitled Love and Respect in Marriage. And the author says that he sees this all the time in marriages. In fact, he's got a chapter devoted to this. He talks about the fact that he sees in marriages where one or both partners make the children's happiness a priority over the health of their marriage. It's the wife who says, "I want to have a great relationship with my husband." It's the husband who says, "When I think of marriage, this is what I want our strong, healthy marriage to look like." And then one or both say, "So we're going to prioritize the kids over each other." That's a road that leads somewhere specific, and you can't make it go somewhere different just by your hopes and wishes. Just by your intentions. Part of the way that you show your kids you love them is to show them what a healthy, strong relationship between parents looks like. If you do not model that, where do you think they're going to learn it? They're going to learn it by looking at you. And so sometimes the best thing you can do for your children is to make sure that you have a healthy relationship. relationship with the person that you're married to. Direction determines destination. Again, this is not that difficult to figure out. If I want to drop 2 pant sizes, I can't eat lunch at the donut shop every day. If I want to remain faithful to my spouse, I don't spend time lingering around members of the opposite sex. That's just an easy one to figure out. Those are pathways. They're not pastimes. And they always lead somewhere. So here's the obvious question that we're going to ask as a church this morning. Are there disconnects in your life right now? Are there roads that right now, if you were honest, nobody else has to hear, just you and God talking. If you were honest right now, are there roads that when you look down toward the end of that road and you see where that is ultimately going, it is not the place you want to be? Is there a path that you're taking right now that when you look to where this thing logically goes, you think, boy, I don't plan to ever be there? And you're thinking that somehow, magically, you'll be the exception to the rule who walks this road and ends up in a different place than where that road ends up. For many of us, we're not able to figure this out on our own. That's why God sends friends and relatives and people in our church to help us figure this thing out. Sometimes there are people who are wiser. Sometimes there are people who will tap you on the shoulder, or they'll send you that email, or they will make that very awkward phone call and say, you know what? I've been watching from the window, and I think you're going in a dangerous direction. Friends, when that happens, don't get offended. Don't say, how dare you? Why don't you run your own life and let me run mine? When that happens, in humility, take the time to listen and see if what they're saying has any validity to it whatsoever. Don't ignore them. You see, you can't stay on the road that you're on and be the exception who arrives at a different destination. The question this morning is, will we be like the naive young guy with no common sense, or at that moment in time when somebody tries to warn us, will we listen? Now, let me just say very quickly, on the flip side, some of you have learned that the rule of the road works, not just works against you, but works for you as well. You are where you are in life because you got on a certain road and you determined to stay on that road, and now you're reaping the blessings and the benefits that come from that particular road. You've been on the road of faithfulness year after year after year, and now you're experiencing the blessing that comes with being faithful. You have been on the road of forgiveness. You were hurt. You had a right to be angry. You were wounded. You were justified in how you felt. And yet, rather than walking the road of bitterness, you decided to forgive and forgive and forgive. And now you're at the destination that happens when you become a grace-filled, forgiving person. You have been financially responsible. Like our friend Dave Ramsey likes to say, you have sacrificed, and there was a time when you lived like no one else, so that now you're living like no one else. God didn't just bless you overnight because of a single decision you made. You have intentionally walked down a road, and now you experience what's at the end of that road. Is the path that we're on going to take us where we ultimately want to be? The rule of the road is operating every minute of every day in every area of life that you and I can name. You're currently on a financial path of some kind. You're on a professional path. You're on a relational path. You are continuing down a moral and ethical path, and each of these paths has a particular destination. Now, here's my hope this morning, and then I'm through. My hope is that by becoming aware of this powerful principle, this important rule, that you and I will have the wisdom to know what road that we need to be on, and then the courage to take that particular road. And with God as our helper, I believe that we can. Let's pray together. Would you stand with me as we do that? Following this prayer, we're going to sing another song, and there may be some folks who feel the need to respond in a public way. and pray with some of our shepherds who are going to be down here at the front. There will be others who will just need to silently where they are, perhaps say a prayer to God and say, God, I can see it now. I didn't see it before, but boy, I can tell now. There's a road I've got to change. And with you as my helper, I'm walking out of here today, and I'm getting on a different road. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we offer this prayer to you in the name of Jesus Christ, not only our Savior, but the one through the one whose power moves through each one of us, Father, not only as a church, but also as individuals. We're grateful, Father, that in the challenges that we read through your word, that we're not left alone to fend for ourselves, but Father, rather, you have empowered us to be able to meet each one of these things. My prayer for us as a church this morning is that we'll take a look at the road that we're on as individuals, and that, Father, if we need to make those changes, then the changes will be made today. That we won't somehow think that we're the exception, that we won't somehow think, Father, that we're the ones who will end up in a different place. Father, you have put great hopes and dreams in the lives of each person gathered here today. You have put incredible dreams and a vision in the life of this church. And I pray, Father, that we will be on that road that takes us where you ultimately want us to be. Father, we offer this prayer in our time of worship today in the name of Jesus. Amen.